The Music Hall with George Murphy as host. Plus the regulars, Marilyn Maxwell, John Scott Trotter, the music maids, Yuki, and special guest tonight, the King's Men and Lum and Abner.
And here are Marilyn Maxwell and George Murphy.
It had to be you.
It had to be you.
I wandered around and finally found somebody who
could make me be true, could make me be blue,
and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you.
Some others I've seen might never be me,
might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. Nobody else gave me a thrill.
With all your faults, I love you still.
It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. Nobody else gave me a thrill.
With all your faults, dear, I love you still.
It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
That was Marilyn Maxwell and Ole Murph himself. Friends, and this evening we're going to branch out and attempt a modest little public service. Mother tells me that there are many thousands of war workers like herself who find it impossible to listen to the radio. So good old Murph, the people's friend, has arranged to do something about it. Yes, sir, this evening we're going to present the Cross Family, or Our Parents' Children. The Cross Family is the griping story, the gripping story, of a simple-minded girl, Christina Cross, known to her intimates as Chris Cross. It is the story of how she protects her two brothers, Cut Across and Come Across, from the evil, smiling plots of their hypocritical uncle, Double Cross. Chris is alone in this fight, except for a distant cousin, a young red-headed medico named Red Cross. And now we look in on the Crosses of Crosspatch, the happiest family in Mudtown.
The Cross Family, or how can we tell our children apart? Yesterday, you will remember, Chris Cross told Dr. Red Cross about the paper her foster mother, Mother Foster, had discovered several days ago hidden under the plaster on the wall. The wall was plastered some time ago to match Father Cross. Naturally, when this was told to the young Widow Black, who in turn told the old Widow Black, the two black widows became venomous. They became venomous toward Gertrude, who had gone to South America knowing full well that Fanshawe, a child of a former secret marriage, was talking to Pegtop Randolph, the old gatekeeper near the grain elevator, and flatly refused to. As we look in on the Cross Family, the two little children can be heard playing.
Wham, and it's a six. Come on, dice, keep hot. One more pass and I'll make seven passes in a row.
You'll never make the seventh, Cross.
Yeah, put that stuff away. Here comes Mama with Uncle Double Cross.
Hello, Comer.
Hello, Mummer.
Hello, Cutter.
Hello, Mutter.
I want you two children to be very good because your father has gone for a vacation to an island hideaway. Hasn't he, Uncle Double?
What island, Uncle Double?
Alcatraz.
I know your father was innocent, children.
Tell us, Uncle Double, what was the charge?
20,000 volts.
Oh, do that if my distant cousin, young Dr. Redcross, were not so distant.
Did I hear someone mention my name?
Oh, Dr. Red, I've been so blue. It was white of you to come.
You look in the pink. Why are you in a brown study?
It's the baby, little Trotter Cross.
That's me. I've been a shut-in for years and years.
Why have you been a shut-in?
I can't get through the door.
Don't forget me, Cousin Red. I, too, am a cross.
Between what?
There's a policeman at the door. There's a policeman at the door asking for you, Christina.
For me? No. No! No, I tell you! No!
Now, what can the police want with little Chris?
They want you, too.
Oh, they do, do they? Well, then take this and this.
Tune in next Thursday for another quiet few minutes with those adorable crosses who live in the little house halfway out of this world. Find out who shows Crisscross how to go straight and see life as it's lived by common people like yourselves with Christina Cross, who is every inch across and 60 inches around.
Afraid of going out, and I'm so tired of staying in. My future doesn't look serene, 'cause every time that I go out, I wish that I'd stayed in. It's always the same routine. When I go for a walk and meet old friends we knew, we sit around and talk. Then they ask about you. What's the good if I say that you and I are through? I tell them you're okay. Wonder where we've been and why we never call. I take it on a chin until the teardrops fall. They don't mean to be small, but if they only knew stepping on my heart when they ask about you, when they ask about you.
Filled with the spirit of the samovar, as Russian as a plate of borscht. I like a balalaika.
Won't you come with me down to the Russian quarter? You will hear a melody strummed by a Russian quarter. The instrument he plays is old as love. It's called a balalaika, and speaking for myself, I like a balalaika, a Russian balalaika, because
drink like a fella, like a play. Hey, hey, they play a passionata, concerto or sonata. They swing an awful lot of notes, and that is why I like to listen when the fella like a play. Hey, you know that steel guitars don't go with samples.
Hey, you can, hey, you can.
The fella like a is all you hear in good old Russian atmosphere.
For Balalaikas make you want to taste delight, not waste the night.
I like a balalaika, a Russian balalaika. I have no special reason why I like a balalaika, only that the gal I like and likes to hear the balalaika playing like a balalaika play. Hey, hey, it sets your heart a tingle, it sets your brain a jingle, two lips have got to mingle, a fellow can't stay single. Oh, balalaika, balalaika, so.
Good A, number one, and mighty fine. Swell, King's men, swell. That kind of harmony makes it easy to like a balalaika. So this evening, we are proud to present two of the country's most determined post-war planners, Lum and Abner. These two gentlemen are bent on bringing the advantages of streamlining to their Arkansas hometown, Pine Ridge. Let's look in on their famous Jot-'em-Down store and see how these two civic leaders prepare to cope with the world of tomorrow.
Granny's Abner, I've just been reading here. You know, after the war, we're going into the machine age.
We are, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, right smack in the middle of it. Everything is going to be done mechanical.
It is, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's even going to be a machine for dressing.
Turkey dressing?
No, clothes dressing.
Oh.
When you get out of bed in the morning, this contraption will put on your coat and your shirt and your pants.
Well, that's fine, but what am I going to wear? All right, doggies, if I catch that machine running around town in my blue serge suit, I'll whip it to within an inch of its magneto, I'll tell you that.
Wait a minute, Abner. Trouble with you is you don't get the idea of progress and all such as that. All you ever fall for is old-timey ideas like that fountain pen you bought last year.
What's wrong with it?
Well, we'll never sell it, for one thing. It can't write.
Well, I got a feller in mind. I'm just waiting for old Dad Foss to come to town.
Dad Foss?
Yeah.
Well, what does he want with a fountain pen? He can't write.
Well, neither can the pen. The two of them can start out even.
Yeah, but instead of wasting time on junk like that pen, we ought to concentrate on getting up-to-date stuff that'll work. Like electronicals and helicopters and jet convulsion airplanes.
Well, what are we going to do with them things, whatever they are?
Well, we'll get them just as quick as we get done with, what do they call it, reconversion.
Well, let's get one of them, too.
Well, that ain't something you get, it's something you do. It means changing something back to where it was before you changed it before.
Huh.
Well, for instance, when an outfit changes over from making, say, buggy whips to muskets and cannonballs, why, that's conversion. And then when they change...
Well, wait a minute. I thought conversion is when two people sit down and talk to one another.
No. That's conservation. conversation.
Now, don't tell me we're going to have more of that after the war's over long.
Abner, what I'm talking about is these new gadgets we're going to have in the post-war world.
Post-war? Don't tell me we're going to have another and we ain't done with this one yet.
No, I mean after this war. Things like, television.
Television? What's that?
Well, that's like a radio, only you can see it.
Well, I can see our radio.
Abner, television is where you look through a square a couple of feet wide and you can see what's going on in some other room you ain't even in.
That's a transom loan.
There's going to be lots of different things. Take, for instance, the chores around your house.
We've always had them.
Yeah, but in years to come, your woman, Elizabeth, will just get up from the supper table, put the dishes in a fancy gadget, and walk away. Next thing you know, them dishes is washed, dried, put up on the shelf, all the scraps cleared away, and the dining room carpet's all swept.
Elizabeth's had one of them for years.
Well, I never did see nothing like that over at your house.
You're looking at it right now. It's me.
Well, I'm talking about machines, not humans. Machines that'll make everything easier. Like the new glass ovens the women folks are going to have.
Glass ovens? You mean you can see right in them?
Yeah, right smack in them.
Well, now, I'm for that. Now them smart alecks will quit walking up and say, what's cooking?
Here's something you like even better than that. They got a device now where the alarm clock goes off in the morning, and all you have to do is just push a button, and the heat will turn on, the windows will shut, the coffee will start boiling, the bacon frying, and I don't know what all.
No good.
No good?
No. Me and my woman just lay there in bed and starve to death arguing about who's going to get up and push that button.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I know two intelligent gentlemen like you don't want the very street in front of your store to be a hazard to public safety, so I'm going to introduce to you the famous silent policeman.
Well, where is he? Bring him inside. Run him through.
The silent policeman, my friend, is not a man, but a machine. This miracle traffic signal stands like a faithful sentinel at your crossroads. Day and night, he works while you sleep, blinking his great green, red, or yellow eyes.
Green, red, and yellow eyes? Doggies, he has been on one, ain't he?
Well, what's this silent police fella good for, mister?
I'm glad you asked that, my friend. Glad you asked that. In the post-war world, every man, woman, and child in Pine Ridge will be whizzing along the main street in a plastic rocket roadster. Now, the silent policeman will tell you when you can cross the street in safety.
Well, how'll it know when I want to cross the street? I don't even know that myself sometimes.
Now, look here, my friend. You're on your way to the barbershop. Just as you step off the curb, zip, a rocket car shoots by at 100 miles an hour. Whew, you've had a mighty close shave.
Don't have to go to the barbershop, huh?
Gentlemen, I say there is no doubt that your fair city needs a street signal.
Well, now, I've been thinking for years that that was something we needed here in Pine Ridge.
A signal?
A street.
Oh.
And another thing, gentlemen. My signal will be most valuable during emergencies.
Hmm.
Now, picture a young mother crossing the street with her baby. Suddenly, it turns green.
Granny, that is something.
Yeah. I never have saw a green baby, I don't believe.
No, gentlemen, you're mixed up.
They ought to pound the baby's back. That'll bring his color back. The young'un's choking. That's what's wrong.
No. Forget that I said that. The woman didn't have a baby.
What'd she have?
Well, I don't know, to tell you the truth, but never mind. I'll give you another example. A sailor is crossing the street with his best girl. Suddenly, the signal turns red and says stop.
Doggy, that is different. Generally, with a sailor, it's a girl that turns red and says stop.
Hi, Granny Zebner. Maybe we ought to take a chance on that silent policeman. Keep up with the plastical age and all.
Now, that's the idea. Just sign this contract, gentlemen, and the deal is closed. Sign right... Oh, I don't seem to have my pen.
A pen? Uh-oh. Abner, don't we just happen to have one fountain pen in stock?
Yeah, we got one along, but that thing we got, it won't even... Oh, it's no good at all, it just won't write or nothing at all. Won't do nothing.
Well,
we got a nice pen here for $3, mister.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Do you want it wrapped as a gift?
No. Here's your $3. Now, just hand it over so we can use it to sign this contract. There's your money. Now then, put your names right here on the dotted line.
Borrow the man's pen, Abner.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, much obliged to you. Doggies, you don't take very good care of your pen, mister. This thing won't ride.
Well, in that case, Abner, looks like we can't do no business. The deal's off.
Whoa, now. Just a moment, my friends. You can't do this to me.
It's done been done.
Well, is that so? We'll see about that. I'm going out and get a policeman.
Go get him. All that policeman can do is say stop and go and blink them big red, yellow, and green eyes of his. I ain't scared of no silent policeman.
Hey, Granny, as I tell you, Abner, what we need in the post-war world is a good 5-cent cigar and a silent salesman.
Yeah.
With my high starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high up on my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to ten. Then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Plop, plop, plop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heart strained. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Bump, bump, bump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake.
I looked at him,
I looked at her,
he looked at me,
she looked at me,
and as most any fool could very plainly see, I fell for him,
I fell for her,
he fell for
she
me,
fell for me,
and as we left the trolley honked a different key. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer,
buzz went the buzzer,
plop, plop, plop went the wheel,
wheel went plop, plop,
stop, stop, stop went my heart,
stop, stop.
As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me.
And it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the
Diary, that lovely song, It Could Happen to You, has a special meaning for me today because I know now that it can happen to me. George finally asked me to go to Griffith Park with him and look at the stars. I could tell it was going to be an eventful evening when George said,
"You like walking?"
I liked riding, too. Remember when we used to be able to hop in an old jalopy and drive? Remember that old saying, once around the park, then home?
Yeah, but gas rationing's changed all that to once around the home and then park.
Oh, I love to be up here on the hilltop where it's all dimmed out and look down at Hollywood where it's all lit up.
Yeah, makes me think.
Think what, George?
About the time when Hollywood was dimmed out and I was lit up.
Oh, George.
Oh, let's stop fooling around, honey, huh? I brought you up here because, has to do with a ring.
A ring? Oh, George, you darling. George, I didn't think. Oh.
Do you want to see it right now?
Oh, yes, honey, please.
Well, look. Right up there around the planet Saturn.
Very interesting.
Oh, I knew you'd be interested in the stars. Now, let's move over to that dark place, shall we? That's it. Now, stand close to me.
Well, do you think I should?
Certainly, sure. Now, turn your face up.
Well.
Come on.
All right. Like this?
Oh, that's perfect. Now, you know what I'm going to do?
No. What?
Hold the telescope for you.
George, what's that group of stars way over there?
Oh, that's called the Belt of Orion.
Oh, that's a funny name.
Well, you know why Orion has a belt, don't you?
No. Why, dear?
So he won't get caught with his planets down.
I got a minute. I've got a minute.
Murder, Jack.
If you only had Durante's nose.
Hey, I smell something.
It could be me. Burning.
No kidding. I do. I smell something.
I hope my perfume doesn't bother you. It's called alluring.
Alluring?
Yes.
Say, you know that kind of perfume? That's the kind that makes a guy want to kiss a girl.
Do you really mean that?
Sure. One of the guys down at the office was telling me all about it.
Well, I'm Willie.
Okay, I'll take you down to the office and let you meet him.
George.
Oh, I was only kidding.
Oh, well.
Honestly, what? Just having fun. Are you having a good time?
Uh-huh. Are you?
Oh, yeah. You going to be busy tomorrow night?
Well, no.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe we could work something out then. Hmm?
What, George?
Well, I was thinking of finding someone to take dancing.
Oh, gee, that'll be fine.
So I wondered if you'd like to make a quick buck for yourself by taking care of my kid brother. Welcoming as our guest, the fast-talking sidekick of the great Schnozzolo, Gary Moore, as well as a return engagement of those rhythmic rangers, Bob Nolan and the Sons of the Pioneers. So till next Thursday, this is Old Murph saying, I'll be seeing you around.
Forces Radio Service.